We now come towards the end of the series of the minor prophets, and we have seen they're not just minor, but something major to say to the people. Not just to those of that time, but to us today. They spoke into a world of turmoil, exile, persecution. Doesn't that sound a bit familiar to us today? They say there's nothing new under the sun, under God's sun. In a sense, that's right, because they've been through that. Today's title is Action Speaks Louder. I'm not going to complete it, because I'll let you do that. And to give a background to this, it all starts with the captivity of Jews in Babylon, and this brought about a remarkable turn of affairs for Jewish both history and prophecy. 9 of the 12 prophets lived and preached before the captivity, but the last three, one of which is Haggai, preached after the return from captivity. Haggai and Zechariah appeared 18 years after the return, when the building of the temple was both retarded by its enemies and neglected by its people. So to encourage the people to revive the work when it stood for some time, for all the prophets prophecies that had been recorded were delivered within 4 months in Haggai's time of the king. So the king let some people return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. They came back to the land with full of enthusiasm. You can imagine that. We're off, here we come. And began to rebuild. But as time passed, priorities changed. They began to build their own homes and take care of their own needs. And the temple work took second place. And this is in the situation when Haggai, then Zechariah, came to speak. So that's the background. What can we say now? The scene is set, the script is written, the players are ready. The little person stands out the front with a clap of ball and goes bang. And the director shouts out, action. And that's God, the director. God asks Haggai to give them this message. And Haggai does not mince his words. He speaks right to the point, as this we saw in chapter 1. Is it time to live in panelled houses while God's house lies in ruins? You say God is important to you, but you don't act like it. Think about that for a moment. Get your priorities in order and get busy building the temple. He said they experienced drought and famine as a judgment by God on them for putting their own self first. No wonder Haggai says that God has not blessed you. Now down to action. I found this story in a book that illustrates this point. Prior to 1947, some British troops stationed in Pakistan had undertaken to build a church. However, when the time came for their families to join them, they stopped work on the church building in order to prepare quarters for their families. Very responsible and very honourable thing, we would think. The local people saw it as a different thing. They saw the message, God now comes second. So the people responded to Haggai's message and work recommenced. It was not going to be as elegant as Solomon's temple, but it was built and God was to be celebrated and worshipped again in his house. The point is, God's house doesn't have to be fanciful, it doesn't have to be, and I'll come on to why that a bit later on. But Haggai was direct and to the point. And in chapter 2, he makes this point. We start looking at verse 14. Haggai said, this is how it is for the people and the nation, says the Lord. Everything they do and everything they offered is defiled. So think about this now from now on. Consider how things were going before you began to lay the foundation of the temple. When you hope for a 20 bushel crop, you harvested only 10. When you expected to draw 50 gallons from the wine press, you found only 20. I sent blight and mildew and hail to destroy the produce of your labour. Yet even so, Lord, you refuse to return to me. And Haggai again is repeating that comment. If they defile themselves by putting their own needs first, and now they begin to build, they still needed to cleanse themselves. They needed to atone and confess. Yeah, Lord, okay, your house did take second place. I'm still going to do a bit here, there and everywhere, but I'm going to just get on with my own bit of life for the moment, and then once I'm comfortable, I'll then get back to doing the work in the temple. And Haggai said, well, okay, we're glad to have you back. We're glad to see you working in the temple. We're glad to see that you're actually getting stuck in. But have you had the right reason? Are you doing it for the right reasons? And this is Haggai talking to himself when he says, are you doing it because you've got to do it? Are you doing it because you feel obliged to do it? Are you doing it out of sort of the thing to do? But God said that the right heart, he would bless them. In verses 18 and 19. I'm giving in the 18th day of December, the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Carefully consider this, says the Lord. I'm giving you a promise. Now, while the seed is still in the barn, before you've harvested your grain, and before the grapevine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have produced their fruits, from this day onward, I will bless you. Get it right with God. Haggai saying, he didn't want them to give up again. He didn't want them to sort of work into sort of building for a few months and then sort of, oh well, we haven't got time to do any more at the moment, etc. We've got to get on. We know how easy it is to give up and become discouraged, especially when God's promises are slow to come about. And we can see that in our home lives, in our family lives, the things that we pray for today. Come on, God, we want something done. We want something done about it now, instantly. But God says, that even though my promises are slow to come about, it is going to happen. Because I have said, I will bless you. God doesn't say, I will bless you, and then say, I've changed my mind. If God says, I will bless you, I will bless you. So we have a story here in Haggai of exiles returning to their promised land, full of enthusiasm and expectancy, and gradually it slowly diminished and turned their crops, in turn, their crops were not productive and became self became a priority. But right the way through, all that we've read in the minor prophets is that God is a loving God. So into this situation, because of that, he sends Haggai to go and turn things round. We've read some of the minor prophets are not the most eloquent of people. They're not the ones who are the sort of great orators. But they spoke God's word, whether with trepidation or with authority. Because God had said, share my word. God is a loving God, and it turns things around. One of the things that us retired ministers get from our local regional minister is encouragement week by week in their a word of scripture or something that's happened or something that could be, and he feels that it's necessary to share with us. And he said, and this week it was this, and I thought it was very apt for with Haggai. He said that a local minister in one of our churches in this area was praying alone in his church when he heard a clear voice say, "I want my church back." Now you can imagine the reaction to that. Looking around, he saw nobody and thought, just in my mind. But second time, this audible voice said, "I want my church back." And it had a profound effect on him, because then he had to go and say, "Lord, what must I do?" And he said, that was the challenge, as he wrote to our regional minister, he said, that was the challenge, he said, "What am I going to do? How am I going to give God his church back?" And I suppose that's the challenge for us. Do we listen to that voice that sometimes says, "I want my church back"? Haggai in the book was the voice that said to the people, "God wants his temple back." Remember, we are challenged to remember that our actions and failure to act have implications. Do we put God first in all things? And what do people around us make of our actions? What do they think of us when we say we're Christians? The people in Haggai's time, even as they rebuilt, had opposition from the peoples around them. So they too were challenged. And the same applies for us today. Speak up for God. Speak up for God and his standards. Speak up for God and his standards often lead us to discrimination and persecution. And in some places in the world, even death. God wants his church back. Haggai is talking about a temple of worship, but we understand that today God does not need a house as such. Remember the story of the woman at the well we had from last week from John? Do you remember the verses? He says this: "Believe me, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father here in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know so little about the one you worship, while the Jews know all about him, for salvation comes from Jews. But the time is coming and is already here when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for anyone who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." God does not need anything that we can offer, but he does invite us to express our love for him in concrete and practical ways. Our use of time and money often say more than our words. Just think about action. And I found some interesting comments about the word action. Here we go, some of them a bit sort of comical perhaps. "The person who rows the boat generally doesn't have time to rock it." Think about that one. "Chop your own wood and it will warm you twice." "To do nothing is in every man's power." And I think this is quite good for me. "A life spent making mistakes is not only more honourable, but more useful than a life spent doing nothing." "The best angle to approach a problem from is the triangle." "It's fun to do the impossible. Even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there." "Things may come to those who wait, blame the things left by those who hassle. Well done is better than well said. Yeah. It's better to begin in the evening than not at all. Mm-hmm. And I particularly like this one. For all you Star Wars fans. In the sequel, The Empire Strikes Back, Yoda, the Jedi teacher, tries to implant in Luke Skywalker the means of engaging the Force, that is the greatest power in the universe. He says to his pupil, Luke, there is no try, there is neither do. There is either do or not do. And that's basically all those of what Hagiai was on about in this book. It's only a small one, two chapters, always worth reading again. And it just shows us there are things that God sometimes reveals to us about what action actually means. Finally, Hagiai looks back to the future and in a symbolic prophecy speaks of the coming of Christ. He speaks about Zerubbabel. And as a friend of ours in the mission organisation we used to work for, his name was Bull. And he always called himself Zerubbabel Bull. Never mind, sorry about that one. Apologies for any advance for that one. And this is what it says in Haggai chapter 2, verse 18. Tell Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, that I am about to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow royal thrones, destroy the power of foreign kingdoms. I will overturn their chariots and charioteers. The horses will fall and the riders will kill each other. But when this happens, says the Lord Almighty, I will honour you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant. I will treat you like a signet ring on my finger, says the Lord. For I have specially chosen you. I, the Lord Almighty, have spoken. You're looking forward. And if you go to Matthew chapter 1, you'll see that Zerubbabel is in the direct line of David. And such is the line of Jesus. So he's speaking about the coming of Christ. And this signet ring he talks about will be passed through the line to Jesus, who is the final signet ring on God's right hand, because all power is given to him and comes from him today. Are the words of Haggai relevant today? Are the words of our minor prophets relevant today? I believe it is, because it challenges both Christians and non-Christians alike. We're challenged to action. Show that God is first in our lives, even if it means standing out. Never has there been a time to prove that to an uncertain world. Put God's work on top. We should not make excuses that we do not have the time. Our culture encourages us to invest in the future, yet we seem to know very little about investing in our eternal future and in that future for others. That's the challenge. God's word is the challenge. God's word says, you worship with me where you are, because I am with you. Jesus said, I'm with you till the end of the age. Jesus is with us. So when we face the challenges that the people did, the challenges that we face in everyday life, the challenges that sometimes drag us right down into depths of depression and despair, the challenges of saying something at the right time, or getting our words wrong, or getting tongue-tied, God is there. Jesus is there with us. He is in us. He that is in us is greater than the one who is trying to bring us down. Never forget that. I pray that this week, and I pray this for myself, that we will take up the challenge that Haggai gives us. And okay, perhaps we might upset somebody in some way, Or another way, we might actually challenge somebody to come to Christ. Great blessings, the Lord said to Haggai, will come. We're coming Christ. He is our future. He is our present. He is the one who loves us and cares for us. I'm going to close with these words. Lord God, help us to be builders. Help us to be encouragers. Help us to take the arrows that are fired at us by the evil one. Help us to deflect them. Help us to go stronger in your love. But most of all, Heavenly Father, we pray that we will embrace your Holy Spirit in all the ways that you want us to learn to use his word, his power in our daily lives. So, Holy Spirit, refresh us, renew us, and bless us. Encourage us, give us strength to face the challenges of daily life. But most of all, help us to understand that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that one day you will come again. And so often we say, hurry, Lord Jesus, but we can't hurry you, because you still want people to turn to you and be saved. And we are part of that great plan. Thank you again, Heavenly Father, for the minor prophets. Help us just to grasp all that they mean for us today. In your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.